Quack, 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 12 and oh. How's it going, everybody? I'm your host, Adam Chimeo. This is the Quack 12. This is the most official, unofficial podcast about the Oregon football team and basketball team and other sports teams. And this is my co-host, slash sound engineer, slash faithful friend, Aaron Schroeder. How you doing, Aaron Schroeder?
Doing pretty good, Adam. Doing pretty good.
Right in the mic, eh? Just gonna eat whatever you're eating.
Licorice sticks.
Yeah. Those were good, though. You did give me some of those.
Delicious.
So, how was your weekend, man?
Really fun. Had a good one.
Good. I went down to Eugene, like I said I would.
Yeah. Finally,
to see the Fighting Ducks play against probably your second favorite team, the Utes.
Love the Utes.
You do love the Utes, with the return of Darren Carrington and all, you know, that got all the freaking headlines. But so I went down with some family friends, the Sandgren family clan.
Woo!
They're the same people I spent the Eclipse with.
Oh, real party animals.
Real party animals, real Duck fans.
Oh, yeah.
True friends of the podcast. So I went down with them. We tailgated down there. And then we actually just missed the men's and the women's basketball teams were having an exhibition game. And it was like for $10, you could see both of them. And
what?
Yeah. And all the money went to like the firefighter, like, I don't know, some kind of charity for firefighters. They raised like $17,000.
Whoa!
And they both won, which is pretty sweet.
Oh, I thought you meant that both teams get to win. I was like,
yeah, and everybody gets to win.
Everybody wins.
Well, all the good teams, all the Oregon teams.
That's all that matters.
Well, actually, one was Portland State that played the women, so I guess not all the Oregon teams won.
All the important ones.
Yeah, but we'll get that to later.
Okay.
Get to that later. The game was, you know, it was fun to just go down. It's not always about winning or losing when you go see it.
But
it was a good day.
How was the weather?
The weather was really nice.
Yeah. Blue skies.
Yep. Oh, and we won.
Hey.
We won 41-20.
Dang, all right.
Yeah, it was
so
great, man.
Seems like maybe you're in a better spirit now.
I am in a completely better spirit. We got that one win we needed.
That's right. I told you it happened. You got to rally behind the boys. These are kids. You got to remember, these are kids. They're trying their damnedest. We believe in them. They'll believe in themselves. Things might happen.
That was very inspiring.
I try to be.
You're in a good mood today.
Well, I'm on a sugar rush.
How many of those have you eaten today?
Oh, I just opened them up, so I've had like 5.
Okay.
I've had a single serving, and I'm probably going to stop there.
Keep going, man.
Feeling the rush.
Anyways, let me break this game down for you, man, because it was sweet.
All right.
So, first thing right off the bat, after we get the punt or the opening kick,
yeah,
Braxton Burmeister completes a 9-yard pass Charles Nelson. And there was some, like, talk that Justin Herbert may be ready.
Uh-huh.
But he was on the sideline. He was fully padded up.
Uh-huh.
Which is a very good sign.
He was suited up. Dressed out.
He was holding up the signs, even, like, to show the quarterback what to do. Because that's the way they communicate a lot of the times on the sidelines.
You mean like how a catcher throws
no, like they're holding up an actual big cardboard sign
that says like 12.
Well, it's like shows you secret code. So like he was holding up one that was just like hamburger, and that meant something,
right?
But he looked good on the sideline. He looked healthy, and Taggart said actually he was apparently cleared to play if they needed him. So they're kind of just saving him, even
right,
which is good.
Just making sure,
yeah. So we get that 9-yard pass, and then Freeman runs for 3 yards. Then Freeman runs for 3 yards. Burmeister passes to Dylan Mitchell for 6 yards. Royce Freeman, 9 yards. Benoit, 24 yards.
Oh!
That's right.
These are all completions?
Or no, these are all runs.
Oh.
So we got that one pass, and it was pretty good planning because it's like if you just they think you're going to run on every single play.
Right.
And so if you get that one pass that's at least, you know, it's a good 10-yard pass, so it's not even a little dink
pass.
So
it's like, oh, wow, this is some scary shit they can throw.
Yeah, you have to actually at least a little bit respect it. And that was definitely the game plan in this. And then it was just like, just run it down their throats.
Right.
And so, yeah, we're just marching down the field. We get one false start, which brings us to 3rd and 11. Mm-hmm. Braxton Burmeister runs for 15 yards for the first down. First and goal, Ben Wall runs for 2, and then Braxton Burmeister passes complete to Cam McCormick for a 5-yard touchdown. So it was like that drive was like we started it with a 9-yard pass, just kept running the ball, and then an actual pass for the touchdown.
That's killer.
It was pretty sweet.
And I think my nickname for him might catch on.
Well, with me. yeah, and then the crowd was awesome. I think they said there's like 53,000 people there.
Wow. Did you try? Did you get the quack going?
Oh, man, you can't get any. You just got to go with the flow. I was pretty happy just to be screaming oh at these people because it really cuts through. And so Darren Carrington was back for this game. It was like the big headline. And every time he when I was going there, I was thinking like I probably wouldn't boo him really. Like I don't really care enough. And he was really good on the Oregon team. And it's not like I hate him or anything.
Right.
But then once the game started and the first time they're like, Darren Carrington, I was just like, me and thousands of other people were immediately just like, boo! And it was like that every single time he touched the ball.
That's crazy. I love it.
I love it too. And there was a lot of articles written about because like he was very like mature about it and like didn't like taunt or anything in the game. But people were saying, we're being too harsh on him, you know, like you shouldn't. But it's like, football is a mean sport.
Right.
Football is like the crowd is supposed to use everything they have to get into the mindsets of players.
Well, I don't want to delve too deep into this.
Yeah, we're getting off topic. Let's go back to the game. Let's go back to the game. You can tell that we won because I'm just like
real giddy. You're just kind of talking now.
Yeah. So they get the ball. Basically, it all comes down to they're getting in field goal range, and they get a false start, which was totally, again, like the crowd really helped with that, I think. Mm-hmm. And then their quarterback, Tyler Huntley, gets sacked by Jonah Moy and Jalen Jelks, who both those guys have been just freaking awesome this year. We're really, I don't know where we are exactly, but we're like up there for leading the country in sacks. And so we got an 8-yard sack there, and then they got another penalty, delay of game, which took them out of field goal range, and so they had to punt.
Nice.
Which is just a perfect drive for us. And then we start the game, and it gets scary. We fumble it on our own 23rd. Braxton Burmeister kind of like, it was just a miscue. He kind of tried to hand it off to Royce Freeman, and it fell out of his hand.
Uh-huh.
But we hold them to a field goal, which is pretty impressive.
Yeah.
And we even block a pass like going to Darren Carrington.
Perfect.
Yeah, Arion Springs was just on him like glue and just swatting every ball that came his way. And I learned – so like Arion Springs, he's a senior for us.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been in a lot of games. He's been a starter for a long time. And he's only had one interception his whole career. But the reason why he's getting like really good this year is it seems he's just practically abandoned trying to go for the interception. I've heard people talk about this online too. This is not my original idea, but it seems like he's literally just going for swatting the ball.
Right.
Like regardless, he's just going to like be a volleyball player.
Right. It's not so important about getting the ball. It's just get your hands on the ball.
And of course it's like, getting an interception is much better.
Right.
But if
you're stopping it, then you're doing your job.
It's better than doing it. Yeah, especially it's like he knows he's not the best at that.
Right.
So they get a field goal. We go 68 yards on 12 plays and get a field goal.
Yeah.
Aiden Schneider looking good with his mustache still and his Oregon tattoo on his arm.
Any deep bombs on this drive?
Deep bombs, 6 yards. Oh. Yeah, there were not many bombs. 8 yards. I bet you that 9 yard pass was like the deepest pass.
Uh-huh.
Oh no, here we go. Braxton Burmeister pass complete to Tosh Griffin for 15 yards.
Boom.
I don't remember that, but that was probably like,
you see,
he threw it behind the line and then he ran 17 yards because that counts. You know.
Oh, it does?
Yeah.
I thought the kid was getting his legs. Maybe
well,
he is.
I mean, he's not turning the ball over and he's just doing what he can. Shorter passes.
Right.
And, you know, handing it off and running it in.
Right.
And so we get that field goal. They go 7 plays, 59 yards. Darren Carrington was really heating up. He got a 46-yard completion at this point in the in the drive, and it ended in a 34-yard field goal. And then we went for 3 plays, negative 6 yards, and we had to punt.
Oh, that's ugly.
After a sack,
that's bad. That's not gonna help morale.
Well, you know what will help? Our defense.
What'd they do?
We forced them to, I believe we forced them to go for a field goal, and they miss it.
Suckers.
That's right. Oh, never mind. Oh, we actually just forced them a 3 and out. 3 and out.
Great.
Most efficient thing you
Screw
can do.
Them.
Exactly. And we're keeping Tyler Huntley like in check because he's a really good, or at least a pretty good running quarterback.
Uh-huh.
And we really contained him pretty well.
Looking for that snake or something, sneak or whatever.
Yeah, he's trying to like sneak around.
Snake is.
So then we punt, and then we stop them, and it's end of the half. So we're up 17-6, and it's
feeling
been a while
good.
Since we've actually been leading at the half.
Right.
So the whole crowd's feeling good. We go out there. I got some food because I was really hungry at this point.
What'd you get?
I got some. I'm going to rag on it a little bit, actually.
What?
I got some pulled pork.
And
have you ever had bad pulled pork that's like, oh, it looks good, but then you eat it and it's like, oh, this is so bland. Like,
my
it doesn't
dog,
taste like anything.
As a man from Texas,
yeah,
I know that the entire Pacific Northwest is riddled with horrible pulled pork.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You just don't get it.
It doesn't seem hard.
There's good. Don't get me wrong. I've had good in multiple places.
Send us your pulled pork, everybody. Send it in the mail.
I'll give you my address.
There you go. At the end of the podcast.
You have to tweet at me.
What's your address?
Yeah.
No, I had some good food, though.
Okay.
And Mama Sandgren made me a sandwich.
See,
to bring
homemade
in.
Is always better.
It was wonderful. Anyway, so like we're rambling right now and forgetting about the rest of the game, I think a lot of the crowd did that, which they tend to, at half, because I came in and I like came in probably like 3 or 4 plays into the second half.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so they just have a really efficient drive and just march down the field.
Oh, just, you know, standard affair.
And the crowd was definitely a lot quieter because people were like getting into their seats and stuff like that.
Right.
But then we go 7 plays, 54 yards, and get another field goal, which it was crazy to think that. So this is our most accurate field goal kicker in Oregon history.
Uh-huh.
And he has only hit, before this game, he had only hit 2 field goals all season.
Oh, my God.
But he had only tried 4.
Oh, okay.
So it was just weird that we weren't, you know, because of circumstances.
Going after it more?
Yeah. But so he hits this one, too. So now he's 4-6.
Okay.
They go 8 plays, 45 yards. Our defense is still looking good. Definitely looking like the old bend but don't break kind of mentality.
Mm-hmm.
And they miss a field goal at the Oregon 25.
Ooh.
So a 43-yard field goal, which was good to laugh at,
yeah.
Let me tell you. We go 4 plays, 75 yards.
Uh-huh.
Because of pass. Oh, wait. Hold on. Sorry.
Sorry. I'd like to take this moment to tell our audience you can find us on Twitter at Quack12Podcast. You can ask us a question and give us your notes. We got a whole lot to cover, so why don't you show a little support and tweet at the Quack12Podcast.
So this was the most entertaining drive, I would say, just because the way it ended.
Uh-huh.
So first and 10 at the Oregon 25, Tony Brooks James runs for 56 yards to the Utah 19 for first down. So that's the first play of the drive. Then Tony Brooks James runs for no gain. Then Braxton Burmeister runs for 2 yards. So that's second and, no, I think that's third and 8 at that point.
Yeah.
At the Utah 17.
Uh-huh.
We get a false start, which is super costly because now we're third and 13.
Uh-huh. Not looking good.
Not looking good. At the Utah 22, so just right out the outside the red zone. So to pull back the curtain a little bit here, apparently in practice they were saying, like, Charles Nelson, the wide receiver, was saying, like, I think it was to Tagger on a different radio show or something like that. But throughout the year he'd been saying, I want to throw a touchdown. Because that's, like, the only way I haven't scored.
Did one of those sneaky ones?
Yeah. And Jacob Breland, the tight end, said, and I want to, like, I want you to throw me just, like, some kind of trick play or, like, a fade or saw a 50-50 ball where I have to really just jump up and grab it because I'm bigger than everybody else, you know? And so even though they had just gotten the false start, they were planning on doing that play. They had just practiced it one time before. And it was third and 8, and they were going to do it, but then the false start happened, and they're like, just do it anyways.
Right.
And so it's third and 13. Burmeister gets the ball. He, like, goes to his left. It looks like he could possibly, like, pitch it to, I think it's Royce Freeman to
just
his left.
Just lobbles there.
It looks like he's just going to lob it to his left.
Yeah.
But they're also doing a fly sweep, so someone's running in the exact opposite direction.
Right.
Charles Nelson is in between them. And so he runs in between them right when the play starts. Burmeister, like, casually, like, tosses it to him. So he's already running on the other side of the field. And at this point, the play is supposed to be he gets over there and Jacob Breland's supposed to be completely open in the end zone.
That would be ideal.
That's the ideal. That's the way the play is designed. But he's running, and there's already someone running at him.
Right.
And there's, like, three guys covering.
Because that guy's probably smart and like, hey, this is fake.
Yeah, he was like, fake. Yeah, fake news. And then so the three guys were covering Jacob Breland as well in the end zone. So he's not open.
Yeah.
And the guy grabs Charles Nelson for a second, but he kind of, like, falls over himself. And Charles Nelson is just completely wobbling, like his hand even has to touch the ground to keep himself up. He seriously is just barely making it.
Oh my God.
He gets up, and there's, like, two guys coming right at him, and again three guys covering Jacob Breland down there, and you couldn't tell, like, the coach even said, like, I wanted him to run it. I didn't want him to throw it because he's not a quarterback and, like, you know, he could pick it up. But
that
he just
would be ridiculous.
Throws that freaking ball, and Jacob Breland is so much bigger, and the ball is pretty well thrown that he just beats them all and grabs it and gets the touchdown.
Wow.
It was the crowd erupted. It was a sweet play.
Was he, like, bobbing and weaving inside the end zone? Was he running at
No,
the
he
end
just
zone?
Ran. He was, like, kind of, he just ran straight to the corner of the end zone.
Right.
But there's, like, three guys that just were on him
just
anyways.
So much chaos.
But he was so much bigger. Yeah, it was great. It was great.
That is amazing.
So that was the play of the game. Then they go 25 yards and 8 plays, and they punt it. And then we get a touchdown, which I believe was a long, Tony Brooks James, 23-yard run.
Nice.
And then they get the flukiest of touchdowns, which was really funny. It was
couldn't you say the crazy thing that we had with
ours
fluky?
Was planned. It was fluky, but it was like, that's the way it's planned. This play, their touchdown was, so we had actually sacked Tyler Huntley. I believe, no, it wasn't, we had kind of, we were rushing him, and someone swatted the ball as he threw it. I believe he was on, like, the, he was pretty close to the end zone.
Right.
And the ball, like, bounces off the guy's hand and kind of wobbles in, and one of their offensive linemen, their big guy, is lying already on the ground. He's already lying down in the end zone just because someone had pushed him or something like that, or he's pushing down and kind of just fell. And the ball, like, tumbles around and just falls in his lap in the end zone. And they and so they get a touchdown.
I mean,
it's gonna happen, you know. It's
I guess.
What do you do about that? Like, we had done everything you needed to.
Yeah.
And so from then on, it was just we punted. They went for it on fourth and couldn't complete the pass.
Suckers.
Then we punted. They turned it over on downs once they went for the fourth as well.
Uh-huh.
And somewhere in here,
Amidst all this chaos,
there was a play that was another highlight of the game where it was Darren Carrington. For some reason, it's just really hard for me to say that now. But he... he had a good game, but there's this the play that really like sealed the game. I believe it was in the third quarter.
Right.
So it was him and then Ugochukwu Amadi on our side covering him. He kind of goes out flat and Tyler Huntley throws it to him and Amadi just sniffs it out, and so right when Darren Carrington catches that ball,
uh-huh.
he just boom and he just hits him. And it definitely takes him off guard. It's already like a negative play.
Like,
but he also, as he hits him, he rips out the ball from Darren Carrington's hands.
Uh-huh.
And it's ruled as a fumble. He picks it up and he brings it to the house and scores a touchdown. And it was crazy for like, you know, just for that to happen to Darren Carrington.
Right.
It was like such an almost symbolic moment. Yeah, it was... it was something, man. It was a great game.
It seems like I think you should be at every game. Why you haven't already been going?
Well, I can't. Okay, so every game I've been to.
We could have had that 10-2.
Every game I've ever been to, they've won. That is true.
So here we are.
But I can't. Like, I came down because they needed me. All right?
Right.
You can't overuse this. You know?
That is actually a fair point. I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Your energy is strong, but it is also limited.
Precisely.
You are a wise mage, my friend.
Precisely.
Okay, I get it. No, I get it.
Yeah, so it was a wonderful game. Let me tell you a few more stats here.
Yeah, hit me. Hit me with some, give me some toe towels. You know what I'm going to do while you're getting that ready, Adam?
What's that, my friend?
I'm going to get me a licorice.
Oh, God. Oh. All right, Braxton Burmeister threw 9 of 12, so not bad. 0 interceptions.
That's all that matters.
Yeah, exactly. I agree. But for 47 yards, which is like,
really weak.
Yeah, that is a bit weak. And a touchdown, which is not weak.
That's all that matters.
And for how he had been playing, like, this is a perfect game for him. He did awesome.
Yeah, he did great.
Charles Nelson threw 1 of 1. For 22 yards and a touchdown. So it gave him a 100% QBR, which is like the way
he's
you
read. He's killing it.
Oh, he's amazing. Royce Freeman, for 20 carries, got 139 yards.
All
baby.
Right.
0 touchdowns, but 139 yards.
All right. Moving it.
Tony Brooks-James also got 105, over 100 yards. He got 105 and a touchdown.
All right.
And Kenai Benoit, 71 yards and a touchdown. So we were running.
Having a good day.
Mm-hmm. We really, like we have been this whole season, we didn't really have a receiver that stuck out too much. Jacob Breeland led all of them, 1 reception for 22 yards and a touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was like Charles Nelson for 9 yards, Brendan Schuler for 8. Yeah, so we really spread it out, which is probably a good thing, especially when everyone's so young.
So I have... one burning question.
What's that?
How many fans came up to you? You get like 3?
Absolutely, 7? Absolutely none.
We got to get your face out there. That's what I'm talking about.
You're my agent. That's on you.
Yeah, that's a fair point.
Yeah. Yeah, we kicked butt, man. We got 416 yards to their 384 yards. It felt really, really good.
Yeah. And necessary.
Necessary. So now we just need to win 1 of 3. 1 of 3.
And I know we can do it.
We can do it. I think we can do it.
I think we can get 2 more.
That'd be sweet.
We just need to believe in these kids.
You know what game could be really fun if Justin Herbert's back? That Arizona game with Khalil Tate where we go against
my Sandy Bully.
Yeah, that game's going to be, hopefully it'll just be a shootout, because that would be awesome.
I don't know if I can handle that stress.
Whew.
It's going to be too much of a stressful thing.
You're telling me.
You might have to skip the replay on that one for me.
You're just going to leave?
I just need to not know.
Let me break down really quickly the exhibition games, too, for the basketball teams.
Yeah. I'm interested in
that.
Thank you.
So the U of O women beat Portland State 88-60. The men put away Idaho 81-57. Yeah. I haven't really been able to watch them yet because they were exhibition games.
Right.
There's not that much footage of it. But the men's team is playing tonight, actually.
What?
Another exhibition game, but it's against the North... what is it? I always forget their freaking name. Even though they're like down the street from U of O. Northwest Christian University.
Oh.
So we're coming off the 81-57 win over the Idaho Vandals.
Yep.
So in college, it's just 2 20-minute halves, but that game was, I think it was 4 quarters of 10 minutes or 5 minutes or so. It was pretty short.
Exhibition and all.
Yeah. But this one, I believe, will be the standard 2 20-minute halves that they do in college. Which I'm so excited for games being like an hour after watching so much college. Like, I'm still not over college football. I'm still ready to watch as much as I can. But now that it's near its end, I'm like, it'll be nice to watch a game that's just an hour.
Yeah.
It takes a lot of your and so much less commercials. It's like, NCU is actually 2-0. Their season has actually started. And they've scored 113 and 115 in their first two games.
God.
Yeah. So, I don't know. It could be good. Hopefully not. I'll be very upset if it's a close game. The last game they played, it was 86-51. The Ducks won. And their coach is old Oregon Duck, famous Luke Jackson of the basketball team.
Well.
Little Lukey Jackson.
I remember him. He'd always come and take my licorice stick.
I think you've gone licorice stick crazy over there.
The sugar's
delicious. That's all you're talking about this episode.
That's all I got anymore.
I got to get some of these licorice sticks. Yeah, and then the women's basketball game, it looks like it's Westmont. Never heard of them. Our ladies will wipe the floor with them.
Yeah. That's your working theory.
That's my.
Never heard of them.
If I've never heard of them, we should beat them.
Yeah, I love it.
Oh, yeah. So I know I think last episode I said I was going to break down the Oregon men's basketball Pac-12 schedules episode. This is already a jam-packed episode. I don't think I need to do that this go around.
Okay.
Their upcoming game should be, I don't know, at least have a little more information than this exhibition game.
You mean the game that is happening as we tape right now?
Oh, that's true. In 40 minutes it happens.
Right.
So right. We may give you a little update as it goes on.
We'll see.
And actually, the Timbers are also playing just about like right now in their first game in the playoffs. A lot of Oregon sports going on. A lot of sports going on right now.
Go team!
Yay! Oh, you've got an awesome hat.
That's right.
From a fan of the podcast.
That's right.
It just says "Go team."
Go team!
It's green and it has footballs on it.
It is a perfect hat.
Let's go to
the picks.
I was gonna say commercial.
Oh yeah, okay.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Marcus Mariota. Happy birthday to you. That's right. The day we're recording this is on Marcus Mariota's birthday. Isn't that great?
It is beautiful.
All these Oregon games going on and Marcus Mariota's birthday going on and we just beat Utah. It's wonderful.
Utah.
If there's one thing he would want for his birthday besides world peace, it would be for you to like us on iTunes and give us 5 stars. and a comment.
You're not talking to me. You're talking to the listeners.
And you. And the listeners. And going on Twitter, Quack 12 Podcast.
Hashtag that, at that.
Hashtag at that?
Hashtag Quack 12 Podcast.
There you go.
At Quack 12 Podcast.
And we got a Facebook page that I occasionally go on. We got all these things. And you can even email us at this website called Gmail. Quack12podcast@gmail.com.
It's just that simple.
Jump
folks.
On the G wave. Happy birthday, Marcus Mariota. We love you.
And as you know, G stands for Go Ducks.
Go Ducks.
And submerging.
Does that mean to go?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, we've got the picks.
The picks.
From last week. So last we left off, I've got it written here on the pad, so there will be no discussion if I've been cheating or not, because it's written right here.
Yeah. Is it written?
You can hear it. Listen to this, listeners.
Is it written in pen or is it written in pencil?
It is written in, I believe, a mechanized pencil.
Then I don't trust it because you could just change the numbers.
All right. Well, that is true. I'm leading 33. You are leading. Yeah. You are following at 27.
Yeah, that seems about right.
Let's go. Let's start off with the first game: Stanford at Oregon State. We both believe this would be a blowout by Stanford because we've been paying attention to the Beavers,
mm-hmm.
and that would lead you to believe that you should not hang out with them. Yeah, we thought the Beavers were going to get destroyed. Stanford barely squeaks out a win.
Wow.
15-14. I watched this game. It was actually, even though it was a terrible game at the same time,
right?
It was super entertaining just because it was like without Bryce Love. Because apparently, because if you remember against us, Bryce Love was taken out because he was injured.
Like, oh, uh-huh.
And then he had a bye week, and then this was the game after the bye week, and he was on the sideline. And without him, they looked terrible on offense. Like, wow. I wish we could have played this Stanford, because
right.
they were terrible. And Oregon State was, like, they were scrappy. Like, you could tell they weren't really, like, athlete, like, good matches, but they were finding ways to frustrate them. And Stanford's just helping them out by, like, so many penalties.
Right. Interesting. And interesting.
It came down to it, and the Beavers kept getting, like, these close interceptions, but then they would, like, drop them. And they had the game in hand. They were up, I believe it was, like, 15-9 or something like that.
Uh-huh.
Maybe it was, yeah, 14-9. And it was like a minute 50 seconds left, and they handed off to Ryan Nall, their huge running back, and like their surest player, and he fumbles it, and Stanford gets it, and they go like 40 yards, and they get their touchdown, and they totally get like a wow. pretty undeserved win, but
uh-huh.
it was close. I mean, the Beavers are scrappy. I like their interim head coach right now. I hope he keeps the job because, like, he's got them way more motivated than their last guy. Then we got a...
Wow. Was that the game of the week?
Was that
a game of the week?
I think so. I don't know. I don't listen to the podcast.
And
then, so Cal versus Colorado. If you'll remember, I do remember this part. We bet $3,000 on this game.
Oh, yeah. This was the game of the week.
Which is why... I hope you are willing to loan me some money because you went with the Buffs, and the Buffs won 44-28.
Yeah.
And Cal is confusing. Like, so, I don't know if they're good or bad.
How do you want to handle the $3,000?
Next game, we both chose Washington, the Washington Fuskies.
Yeah.
Because we...
Wait, I got
the Sun Dodgers.
Yeah, I got you to turn.
Well, we thought if we voted for them, then maybe they would lose.
Oh,
like a jinx.
Yep.
They win 44-23.
They won.
Yeah, Josh Rosen actually got taken out in like the third quarter.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, because he was injured.
Oh, and?
I think I had heard that, like, he actually took himself out of the game or something like that.
What?
I don't know.
So he had hurt feelings?
Sounds like it. Sounds like it. Yeah, so Washington wins, blah, blah, blah.
Okay.
So well, we both get that right.
Yeah, it was a good test. It didn't work.
So then we got Arizona versus Washington State Cougs.
Uh-huh.
Both of us are high on the Wildcats.
Oh, yeah.
Both of us were fully justified with our choices.
Uh-huh.
58-37.
Wildcats win it.
Wildcats win it.
That's what I love to hear.
Khalil Tate just was insane once again.
Okay, yeah.
He runs like a 70-yard touchdown at least one per game, it seems like. He's freaking good. And
he's like the wind.
He is like the wind. He runs like the wind. Mike Leach was very upset. So we both get that one right. And then we had the Sun Devils versus the USC Trojans.
Did I go with Trojans?
You went with the Trojans.
Good.
I went with the Sun Devils.
Of course.
USC destroyed the Sun Devils.
Yeah.
48-17.
All right.
So you get that one. You get that one.
I won like 4 games this week.
Yes, you did. Something like that.
I killed it.
You won. No, I think you won 5 games.
Did we just go through 5 games?
We went through... Holy shit, did you get them all right?
Yes.
Because you got, let's double check this. Stanford won.
I didn't.
Buffs won.
Did I say Stanford?
Yeah. Washington won. Arizona won. And the truck, you just went 5 for 5, my friend.
It's the first in... The first
should
in
we okay
history.
let's make realistic rules. You need to get a bonus for getting all of them right. But
what should the bonus be like?
Just plus one.
3 points.
Three.
Yeah.
Like a field goal.
If you get all 5, you get yeah.
You know what? I'm willing to do that only because
it gets it real close.
Then the score. That's pretty amazing. I didn't even realize that. The score now is I am still leading, 36. You have 35.
Oh, yeah.
That was crazy.
And we're closing in on the season. Oh, man, you're going down.
Kudos.
All I have to do is listen to you talk about this stuff, and then I become a super genius at picks.
Hold on. Well, we'll see. Let's go to week 10 here.
Okay.
You ready for the next week's picks?
I am ready.
So we got Friday, UCLA, possibly Josh Rosenless against Utah Utes. And they look pretty defeated last time we played them. Who are you going for?
The Utes and who again? Sorry.
UCLA Bruins.
Oh, easy. We know how I feel about this. The Bruins, it's the worst name ever. So I'm going with the Utes.
Of course you're going with the Utes. You've chosen the Utes every game except for when they played Oregon.
Right.
I'm going Utes.
Okay. Yeah, follow the leader.
Follow the leader. Stanford. You know what? Just because of that, I'm going UCLA.
Oh, yeah. Now we got us a cook-off.
Yeah. You don't want part of this chili cook-off.
Now we got a stew going.
Stanford at Washington State University. Number 18 versus number 25.
Yeah, I'm going Stanford.
Going Stanford, eh?
Yeah.
I'm definitely going Cougs.
Wow.
Stanford look like... I should have sold you a little more on how bad they looked against the Beavs.
Accidental game. Accidental game.
What does that mean?
Was it after dark?
It was.
Boom.
There you go. Oregon State at Cal. Oregon State looking for that second win of the season.
I obviously have to go with Cal. The numbers are just right.
And I'm going with the Wood Rats.
Wow.
That's right, baby. Colorado Buffmen at Arizona State Sun Devils.
Oh, Buffmen for the win.
I'm also going Buffmen.
Tight. Finally, you've gotten away from those damned Sun Devils.
Yeah. Yes, a little. I was pretty hyped with them, but now I'm super hyped on Arizona Wildcats at USC. This is a big game. It is 7:45, so that is Pac-12 after dark territory. That's well into Pac-12 after dark territory. Also, this game could very well decide the Pac-12 South champion.
Really?
Yeah. And so that's one of the two teams that goes to the Pac-12 championship game at the end of the year. And Arizona was definitely, they were slated to be either the worst or second worst team this year before it started. And now they're one game away for really.
I would like to take full responsibility for this.
Okay, okay.
It is because of my positive attitude.
I'm going with Arizona very confidently.
Oh, wow. I'm glad I am too, then.
All right. We're pretty even on this.
You went against
Except for a couple.
You went against me.
Okay, we'll see. I would say our locks of the week have either got to be the Wildcats or the Buffs.
Yeah.
Which one do you want to lock down? I'm going Wild. I like Khalil Tate.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Watch the crazy.
I'm writing
locked.
Well,
I'm not going to watch it. You're going to do it. But locks. We're locking it in.
Lock it in.
That's good. All right. So, and then that, of course, leaves us to the next game. And I got a doozy for everybody.
Uh-oh.
It's time for the deep, dark secrets of this podcast.
What?
I should say secret of this podcast to come out.
Wait.
That's right.
Wait. We didn't talk about that.
Everyone take a knee. Everyone take a knee.
Are you about to sell it out, bro?
That's right. Hold on. It's gone on far enough, all right?
You ployed with it today.
So our next game is against the Washington Huskies.
I knew it would happen.
The Seattle Sun Dodgers.
Oh, boy.
Ted Bundy's alma mater.
Oh, boy.
And so,
don't do it.
You know what? I'm just going to rip the Band-Aid off, listeners.
Don't do it.
This podcast is actually deep undercover. Coming to you from Seattle, Washington, this whole time.
Oh, boy.
This is not a joke. Hold on. Before you, don't touch your, put your phone away. Away from your hand. Listen to what we got. Put it on speakerphone.
Yeah.
Or unplug your headphones. Boy. Pull over your car. Just give me a chance here, all right? For the past, 4 years, this podcast has been deep undercover, watching practices, dressing up as janitors, getting on that field, seeing what Jake Browning, what ticks him off, what makes him throw poorly. Turns out just about everything. We're getting all the pet peeves of these Huskies, all their fans, all the bandwagon
we're
fans.
We're spies.
We're deep covered spies. So I could tell you, I'm feeling good about this game. All right? That's right. Deep covered spies. So I want you to appreciate that I'm living in this expensive hipster haven.
Uh-huh.
Where every day there's a new condo and a new cool thing goes out the window until it becomes as bland
as Amazon's products.
As Amazon's products. That's right. That's right. Where everyone's apathetic over everything and can't get a meal for less than $15. We're living in this hellhole. We're actually living.
We're trying to. No, I'm not going to say it.
We're doing this for you.
We are.
All right? We're sneaking information.
Adam?
Yeah?
Should we tell him the deeper, darker secret?
What's that?
That actually I watch all the games and you don't watch any of
them. Yeah, that's... yep. I'm just really good at bullshitting.
Yeah.
So,
well, it feels good,
I feels,
guess.
You know, it's out
now
in the open.
Know. We are Seattle, Washington based.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. For you. We're doing this for you, everybody.
I had no idea you were going to do that. I was trying to sell that you were really close to the games and you should be going to all of them.
I should be. I still am pretty close.
Yeah, you're close enough.
But when it comes to this game, as of right now, we are 27-point underdogs.
Wow.
Yeah, the Huskies, it's realistically, so their D-line is solid. Their secondary seems to be younger, but not bad.
Uh-huh.
Where they're possibly, where I think what an Oregon win looks like is, first of all, we can't have false starts because that crowd is going to be into it.
Right.
Now that all these bandwagoners have something to clamp onto, they're going to really make it loud in that stadium for them. Until we, unless we get up a couple scores, it's going to be loud there.
So the Ducks are coming up here, huh?
Yeah, they're coming up here.
Should this be the game I go to?
If you want to dish out $100.
God, never mind.
Yeah, that's why I'm not really.
Holy crap, holy. Is that because of the Huskies?
Yeah, because they're hoping to see a Duck bloodbath.
There you go.
They beat us 70-21 last year.
Wow.
In Autzen, which is the biggest, the most amount of points scored in our 100-year rivalry either way.
Wow.
And so if we're going to win this game, what's going to have to happen is we're going to have to shut down their run game first and foremost.
Yeah.
And make Jake Browning attempt to pass against us. Because if we can get them to like 150 yards or under, that's asking a lot. But our run defense, led by Fat Mac, has been awesome. And so if Fat Mac can have himself a game, and Jalen Jelks and Troy Dye, and if everyone can really, and Henry Mondu can get at the quarterback, can stop them from running.
Yeah.
Or at least somewhat stop them from running, then I think we have a much better chance against their quarterback, Jake Browning. That being said, their defense is legit. And so really the other thing that we're going to have to need to win this game is Justin Herbert, which it's possible. Willie Taggart's been super coy.
Maybe why that is what they say.
No, he's been super like they asked him, like, oh, could he have played? And he's like, well, no doctor told me that he couldn't play. And it's like, oh, so did you ask the doctor? Or, yeah. So he's definitely like having fun with it. Like he wants them to at least game plan for Justin Herbert, even if he's not. But
right.
It's a lot of people are saying it seems like Justin Herbert's going to start. And if he starts, then anything's possible.
Do you think his time away, though, is going to be a problem?
It could be. I mean, he obviously could be a little rusty. He could still be feeling a little bit of pain, I would imagine.
And a little bit of fear, maybe?
I'm not sure about, I mean, where's anyone, any normal person would feel fear. I'm not going to, you know, speak for Justin Herbert in any way. Like, who knows? I would assume that he would be afraid, but especially in that environment. But I mean, these are, he could be ready for it, man. Like, if we get that, if we like got the ball and got that first drive,
yeah,
that energy alone, and maybe a stop after that.
Yeah.
I'm pretty excited for this game. If we win this game, then Taggart will, I think the whole fan base will just be freaking ecstatic. And, oh, it'd be so, so, so satisfying to see the Huskies, like, playoff hopes be crushed.
Would that actually happen?
It would. Like, if the and not only that, so it's, if the Huskies lose,
yeah,
it is very safe to say that, it's definitely safe to say that they won't go to the playoffs. And also, no Pac-12 team will go to the playoffs.
Oh, wow.
So,
are they the we could be the spoilers. Best team?
As of right now, yes. That, which, wow. The Pac-12 is, this is a down year for the Pac-12, I'd say. Like, overall, we're not, I bet you we match up pretty well against other conferences.
Uh-huh.
Like, maybe not the best versus the best.
Yeah.
But in the middle, in the lower tiers, I bet you we do. But I don't think we have any really, really great teams. And maybe Washington will, you know, prove me wrong and just blow the doors off Oregon. But I think this will be a close game. I hope it's good. I stole all the plays. I've been studying them. I've been cheating every way possible. I'm going to have a little laser beam to shine in people's eyes.
Oh,
I'm going to pull the fire alarms.
Oh, all of them.
No, I'm really going to try to cheat.
What I actually, and Adam, you can back me up on this, but
always.
We've been working out this whole plan. We've been calling it Corruption Week.
Mm-hmm.
It starts.
This is Hate Week, by the way, is what fans call this. Hate Week.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, then why have we been going with Corruption Week?
I don't know, man. You loved it.
Okay, yeah. So anyway, loyal listeners, I'll have you know, we are on campus 24/7. We're everywhere.
It's
we're
terrible.
Watching you.
It's a terrible campus, too.
It's one of the ugliest things I've ever seen.
It's hideous. But let's get out of this ugliness, though. Yeah. We won a game. So now it's time to go back in time.
Back in time.
Thank you, Huey Lewis, for coming in and singing that. Get the hell out of here now, though. We don't need you. Because we're going to 1904. 1904 Lemon Yellows history. Or
Lemon Yellows.
That's it. Not the Webfoots at this point.
No, sir.
Soon to be Webfoots. Soon to be Ducks. We went 5 wins. 3 losses, 0 ties.
Okay.
We were like the tie masters for a while there.
Yeah, it was really kind of just upsetting.
Yeah, it really is. So we started off a freaking brutal week of football, like October 8th, October 12th, and October 15th. Jeesh, man.
Yeah.
Oh, I hope the games are shorter back then, but I don't know.
No, they went until like someone's like, we give up.
But these are like scrimmage matches because we started off with Oregon alumni. So I don't, again, it is Oregon alumni. Do you think it's
old people?
Well, it could be just older people that went to school, or it could be like an old football team of like a few years past. I need to do some research into that.
I'm going to go with old people.
Okay, well, now they're old people, if they're alive.
Oh, yeah.
They're like the oldest people. We beat them 20-0.
Nice.
October 12th, we played Albany, which we always kick their butt. I remember one game, there was like 124-0 Albany or something like that.
I remember one time I thought we were playing Albany, New York.
That was so many, so many episodes ago, though.
I'm so much smarter now.
So much smarter. We beat them 4-0.
All right.
Is 4-0 two safeties at this point? Because
I think
that's it.
Are we even working in that system?
I think field goals are still $5. $5. 5 points, I believe. So safeties are still 2 points. I'm guessing that's it. Then we played Willamette from Salem, Oregon. We beat them 16-0.
Yup.
Then we played California. We lost in Berkeley, so that's first time we get out of the state of Oregon. We lose to them 0-12, so we lose by 2 touchdowns.
Mm-hmm. That's a loss.
Then we play at Stanford. We lose 0-35.
Oy. Wow.
A couple days before Halloween on October 29th. November 12th, we play the Washington Sun Dodgers on Kincaid Field. In
home
Eugene,
base.
Oregon, home base. And we beat them 18-0, baby.
Yeah.
Just like, I hope we beat them 18-0 this Saturday.
I believe in us.
That would actually be such a, I don't even, okay, how the hell do you get 18-0? And I guess if you, okay,
where
we're going to get
will,
12.
Where there's a will, there's a way.
Yeah, we're going to get 6 field goals. That'd be so awesome. Aiden Schneider's going to get 6. This is my prediction for the Huskies game.
Oh.
We're going to get freaking 6 field goals, and we're going to blank them. They won't score anything. We're going to win.
Or we get 2 touchdowns and then a safety.
That'd be cool.
That's 16.
Oh,
and
that'd be 16.
Real doable.
How about 2 touchdowns and 2 safeties if we want it to be 18-0?
Oh, I thought we needed 16.
Let's get 2 safeties is awesome, though. That'd be
I'll
even
take
more
1,000 safeties.
Yeah.
Give me 1,000 safeties.
That's true. Then we played Oregon Agricultural, a.k.a. The Beavers, a.k.a. The Farmers. got something written up here by the Oregon Live.
Mm.
We can cut that out. We don't really need to credit anything. I just know this information.
Yeah.
So, there was a Corvallis record of 1,292 paying spectators watching it, filling the grandstand. Do you know what the grandstand is?
The grandstand is a singular side stand. It's like what you would see at a rodeo.
Absolutely. That is the grandstand.
Don't mess with me, my dog.
You know I never would, man. So in the second half, Oregon scores the early touchdown. Then the Farmers, a.k.a. the Beavers.
The Beavers.
Then known as the Aggies.
Mm-hmm.
So many names. So the Aggies score on a 90-yard fumble recovery, but a missed point after gives Oregon the 6-5 victory. Because the touchdown,
wow.
Touchdown's 5, and then the extra point is 1 extra at this point. So they win because the other guys missed the extra point.
Wow.
That's a game,
it's
baby.
It's also cool that you know this stuff now.
I know. I do think it's pretty interesting. But there's one more game.
And let me guess. Can I guess? Should I guess?
Sure, go for it.
Multnomah Athletic Club.
Yep. Actually, though, I learned something.
Oh?
They were actually called the Multnomah Amateur Athletic Club. So it's still the MAC. But at this point, they were called the Multnomah.
They're just a bunch of losers.
Yeah, well, I think it's just, it's so weird that, I guess this was a thing that would, like a college team wasn't really taken as that serious of a thing. Like an athletic club probably has a better chance of being much better. Because these things were all across the country, too.
Yeah. Well, we already know what, I mean, they're studying witchcraft.
Oh, yeah, they're evil.
Using it.
And they were started by football players, actually. The whole athletic club was.
Was it really?
Uh-huh. So it's rich, yeah.
Yeah. No way. No
witchcraft,
way.
Witchcraft, yeah. And so we lose to them 0-7.
Okay.
Yep.
It seems accurate.
And let me tell you about the head coach. I saved him for last because he was very intriguing to me. So he was born, let me tell you his name, Richard Shore Smith.
Mm-hmm.
Born December 11th, 1877 in Mountain View, California.
Uh-huh.
So for his playing career, he played in Oregon 1896 to 1899.
Been talking about him.
Yeah, as a fullback. He's a good player. And then he went to Columbia from 1901 to 1903, where he got his law degree, and he played there as well.
Wow.
And then he came back to Oregon in 1904 and was our coach. And actually, then he took a hiatus. And he comes back in 1925 and coaches us again.
What?
So it'll be a while till we hear about him. But here's an interesting fact. So he practiced law and was president of the First National Bank in Eugene, Oregon. So he was pretty rich. And he died at the age of 74 on May 19th, 1953 at his home in Eugene, Oregon.
Wow.
So he's a true Eugene, Oregonian there.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, I think it's pretty, I think it's cool that, yeah, it's, even at this early point, you can see these people's, like, lives super invested into the team already.
How do you, know, and also, I mean, I don't want to undersell that the accomplishment of having, like, the very first national bank is pretty impressive.
Yeah, no joke. He must have been freaking rich.
He had the very first one. So tight.
Pretty sweet, but he still wasn't rich enough to help us beat the freaking Multnomah Amateur Athletic Club.
Making us look like a bunch of amateurs.
Yep. Hey, we're getting close to the forward pass, though.
Oh, yeah? When does that show up?
I believe in a year or two. We'll find out. It's coming around the corner.
You know the word on the street is.
Like, apparently a few teams are, like, kind of doing it, but it's not really, like, allowed. Like, if you did it, another team could possibly be like, hey, what the hell was that?
Have you seen those?
That's cheat. You play like a sissy. People thought that it was a really sissy move to do that.
Oh.
Just let me punch you in the face instead.
Get over here and let me ram you with my fists.
Yeah, exactly. But that's football, and I hope we ram our fists at the Huskies.
I think we will.
I think we're going to win.
I think
we're going to win. Please. Please, God, let us win.
I think we will.
But catch us next week. We're actually people are getting into the podcast. I'm very excited. We actually have quite a few listeners on my scale. I don't know what that means.
Mm-hmm. Don't worry.
Yeah, we're getting popular.
We're just gonna sit back, eat these red licorices, and watch the subscribers roll in.
Yep, all that money, all that fake money that we'll never make. All right, everybody. Please find us on iTunes and crap like that. Go Ducks!
Go Ducks! Get on the bus.
Cool.
Great job, everybody. Good work, team.
Let's edit this bitch.